This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And we're going to get criminal this hour. We're going to talk to Brandon Darby about drug running and the mob in Italy and cartels. That's coming up about a half hour from now. Dome sat down with Telemundo. Chris, it might be hard for you to understand.
Buenas tardes.
Anyway, she sat down with Telemundo and came out for amnesty. We'll get to that in just a moment. We have to get to SeaWorld, Ukraine, mass death, emails, and voicemails. And we have to crunch all this in to 1 hour. So let's begin, and let's begin right here. Dome sat down with Telemundo and said this.
Right now, we're talking about border security, and there's nobody, no Democrat, talking about a pathway to citizenship, an immigration relief, and the benefits that migrants bring to this country.
Oh, but there's no question that migrants bring America.
We'll get to her stumbling answer. It's the question that grades on me to no end. Do you see anything wrong with American politicians sitting down with Telemundo and being interrogated about making illegals into citizens? Why do you ever have to answer that question at all? And the authority with which he asks this question.
Right now, we're talking about border security, and there's nobody, no Democrat, talking about pathway to citizenship, an immigration relief, and the benefits that migrants bring.
And listen, she starts to try to defend herself. Right now, we're talking about border security, and no one's talking about pathway to citizenship, because we don't want you here. No. In fact, we should take people we've made citizens and strip them of that citizenship and pack them heading back too. Why don't we talk like this? We are a sovereign nation of citizens. We are not the world's open sewer. You have no right to come here whatsoever unless you do so legally. And if you come here illegally, I don't care if it was 30 years ago on a raft from Guatemala. You should be arrested and deported, and on camera this should be done as a lesson to the rest of the illegals around the world, from Uzbekistan to Argentina. This is what happens when you violate the sovereignty of America. If you want the ultimate prize, which is citizenship of this country, you wait and you do it in the legal way. And if you can't do that, you should be arrested in the dark of night and chucked in the back of a van like your firewood and deported back from whence you came. And yet we have our own politicians of either party being interrogated by Telemundo. Why aren't you talking about amnesty? The entitlement these people have drives me up the wall. And then you have her brain dead answer.
Right now we're talking about border security, and there's nobody, no Democrat, talking about a pathway to citizenship, an immigration relief, and the benefits that migrants bring to this country.
There's no question that migrants bring... America is a country that was built...
She's so eloquent.
...in part by immigrants.
But people are concerned about their TPS, their DACA, their... we're talking about mass deportations.
I'm not talking about...
What do you stand on mass deportations? What's your stand there?
We need...
Listen to how concerned this scumbag is. Are you going to give us amnesty? We deserve amnesty. We took a crap all over your immigration laws, but we deserve amnesty. Surely you're not going to deport us, right? Surely you're not going to deport us? You freaking people better pray to God I never take power. I will tell you that much. You better pray to God I never take power. I'll deport you just for asking me the question. I'm not even close to kidding. I am so sick of this country, of the country I love, being treated like crap by all these people. Drives me up the wall. And then you have these dirt balls in the
country. Another man is behind bars after detectives say he sexually assaulted his 80-year-old landlord in Miami. Now, police say that elderly woman had fallen and while she was cooking and was yelling for help. Officers say she asked Eric Garcia Gutierrez to call an ambulance and instead he assaulted her. Police arrested the 37-year-old, charging him with a felony sexual battery. He's being held without bond.
80-year-old falls. How heartbreaking. It's just one of those things that guts me. Old people falling and hurting themselves. I've always hated it. It breaks my heart. Little old lady falls, laying there in pain, asks for help, and this dirt ball from Nicaragua comes in, and instead of helping her, because we let animals like this into our country unmolested, just, man, that woman, the rest of her life, she will relive that moment. How many years does she have left? I don't know, but not many, no matter any way you slice it. And now at 80 years old, she will have that trauma on her brain the rest of her life because the scumbags who run this country have thrown open its doors. It makes me sick. It sickens me. We're moving off this because I'm getting myself in a bad mood. Let's go back to the voicemails.
So, Jesse, do you like to watch Gladiator movies? Who is gay? Anybody, any man that watches Gladiator movies has to be gay.
What does that mean? I don't understand what that means. I am a huge fan of Gladiator movies. And, no, I was not in the Navy.
Shogun, watching a retrospective of Biden's career and pictures from the 80s when he had no hair on the top of his head, and El Rushbo used to call him Plugs, and somebody has to start calling him Plugs Biden again. Let it be you. Cheers.
Well, here's the thing. You bring up an excellent point. And Joe Biden's hair plugs, I remember when Rush used to call him Plugs. And I used to laugh and laugh and laugh because they were so obvious. But the advancements in hair, it's reached a point where you can't see them anymore. That's one thing. And the other thing is, everyone's heard the saying, if you live in glass houses, don't throw stones. I just don't feel like I am qualified to blast anyone else for the state of their hair. Mine is, it's leaving me, okay? It's like an old friend slowly saying goodbye. We keep hugging, you know, hey, don't go, don't go. And I can actually hear him every time I wash my hair and I see a little hair come off with it. It's like it's a friend I'm never going to see again. And sometimes it's just you and me talking. I don't tell this to everybody. Sometimes I say goodbye. Do you know that? When it's not funny, Chris. Sometimes I look down and I know that hair is not coming back. It's not growing back. And every time now, do you see, are you watching on a simulcast? Remember, you can watch the show. They simulcast it on the first TV. You see the top? Do you see how thin it is? It's not just retreating towards my ears anymore. It's just all going away. And what, Chris? What? I don't have the Magneto M. Oh my gosh, I kind of do. Oh no. I see it too now. Oh, see? And then, you know what really hurts? There's some sort of supplement my wife is taking. I don't remember what it's called. We saw an advertisement for it on television, and she just cuts me. She just cuts me deep. She was taking it for something. I forget what it was. But she was commenting on how fast her nails are growing. And she looks at the advertisement on TV and she says, oh, I've been taking that. It's really making my nails come in strong. And then without missing a beat, she turns to me. I'm sitting beside her and she says, you should try that for your hair. You know, that hurts. All right. That cuts me deep. Anyway, let's talk about other things. Let's talk about Dome and how she's just kind of dumb.
I think that's not landing with voters. Because in the numbers, it's the opposite. Former President Trump leads you on this issue.
Well, when I'm out, this is why I'm going out to Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and
Michigan.
And Michigan,
yeah.
Excuse me. Just got in late this morning, actually.
Or you get the word salad.
I think part of what is important in this election is really not only turning the page, but closing the page and the chapter on an era that suggests that Americans are divided.
What does that mean? Let's do some emails. Jesse, you forgot to mention what they plan on doing about putting people... Oh, he's talking about the loss of freedom and threats of prison. Okay, please understand that we're not in an era where they might start putting us in jail. They are putting us in jail. 1,500 January Sixers. You know who Dexter Taylor is? Dexter Taylor is a computer nerd, like a software engineer. Nicest guy you've ever talked to in your life. He legally purchased firearm parts, assembled them in his home, didn't sell them, never fired them, never did anything. They kicked in his door with a SWAT team, and he, at 53, is going to New York State Prison for the next 10 years of his life in one of the ugliest, most violent prisons in the country. They're not going to start locking us up. They are already. Take your chalk. Gentlemen, the time for testosterone is now. It's needed now more than ever, and we have less of it than we have ever had before in our lives. Take your chalk. Male vitality stacks give you a 20% increase in 90 days. It's not even a long time. It's not like I need you to just cross your fingers. Well, Jesse says it might work in a year. You will feel the difference. You will know the difference. I get people, can you believe this? I get people all the time, daily, emailing me, thanking me for recommending chalk. Natural herbal supplements, female vitality stacks, male vitality stacks. It's Chalktober. Go to chalk.com, promo code Jesse. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a hump day. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll get to this Bob Woodward Ukrainian man. The foreign policy people are some of the most cruel people I've ever seen in my life. We'll get to that in a moment. I want to address something that Chris was talking about during the break. Chris, he was struggling with something. I could tell he was. And then I asked what it was wrong, and he said, I don't want to tell you, you'd be the worst person to tell. And then I had to press, and then all that did was pique my curiosity. And then I had to know, and I had to know, and I had to know. He said, I don't want to tell you, I don't want to tell you. But I pressed enough that eventually Chris caved. And here is Chris's problem. He said, what do you do if you get a text from a number you don't recognize? How do you handle that? Obviously, it's a personal text of someone who knows you, who got your number somehow, some way. How do you handle that? I don't understand why you think I'm the last person to ask, Chris. I'm what? I'm the best person to ask. How do I handle it? I'll tell you, it actually happened to me last week. It happened to me on Thursday. I can actually read it for you verbatim. Hold on one second. I have it right here. I'm going to skip the name, but I got this text. Hey, Jesse, I just did this documentary for, I'm going to skip the name of the channel. Hey, Jesse, I just did this documentary. I feel like it's something you would love. And he just sends it. And I don't have this number recognized. I don't know this. So this is how I handle things like this. I said, who is this? And send. It's very, very simple. Who is this? And send. And he texted back who he was. I, of course, didn't know him. Otherwise, I'd have had the number saved in there. And then I was going to let it go because it was funeral week and I was feeling really, really generous and nice. I was going to let it go. And then And then he made the critical mistake of following that up with a, oh, I guess you don't remember. So now it's kind of teenage girlish. And so then I asked him, how did you get my number? Because I never gave this guy my number. And he texted back the name of the person who was in my phone, who gave him my number, and boop, blocked them both. He's blocked, and the person who gave him my number is blocked. I don't understand why you think that's difficult or why I'm not the one to ask. I'm the perfect one to ask. In fact, that's the technique I've been using for years. Michael Berry, my mentor, taught me that a long time ago because I was getting frustrated. People start abusing your number whenever they get your number. I was getting frustrated with it, and he said, don't get frustrated. Ask every one of them who gave you the number, and then block them both. Two birds with one stone. Why do you think this is difficult? What's wrong with it? What? Why are you shaking your head? Why can't you do that? What? Doesn't my wife say that I have no sympathy for people? No, I think she says empathy is what she says. She says I lack empathy. I know, I don't really get the difference either, Chris. Neither of those things are my concern at all. She says I lack empathy. That's not true at all. I'm a big believer in pruning my tree of life. You prune your life tree. I use this on social media. It's the worst for, well, it's the best for me because I don't know you. So if you even annoy me in the slightest, I'll just block you immediately. But I hope you don't think it's only reserved for social media. I do this to real life friends, things like the second I sniff crazy or anything like that, beep, gone immediately. My phone number, oh gosh, there's no faster way to get blocked than by bludgeoning my phone number with stupid things. I'll just block you immediately. I'm the best one to ask, Chris. I'm here to help you. And you know, you think I'm the worst one to ask because you think that's mean. And maybe in a way it is mean, but guess whose life is going to be better in a tiny way. Guess whose life will be better now? Mine. Those are two people I will never have to concern myself again. One of them is so careless, they hand my phone number out without my permission. The other one uses a number when he knows I don't know who he is to self-promote himself and then gets annoyed when I don't text him back as if we're teenagers and homecoming is coming up. Both of those people are people I don't need in my life. So Jesse had to bust out the old tree pruner. Snip, snip, snip. Goodbye. Jesse's life is now more worry-free than it was before. When you accept this, Chris, you will find your life is better. Let's go back to the voicemail.
During the show, you were talking about Chris's water, and you said that you live in a normal-sized house. And I don't understand how this is possible. You're 6'8". Do things have to be extended in the house for you? Serious question. Like, do you have to have the doorways heightened a little bit, or do you just walk around cranking your neck and, you know, trying to avoid smashing your head on things? Inquiring minds want to know.
I didn't get tall yesterday. I've been tall my entire life. I told you we didn't grow up with a lot of money. I had a single bed, just like the little twin bed, for my entire life until I left for the Marine Corps. That's the bed I had, just a tiny little bed. I learned to sleep with my feet hanging off of the bed. And now, actually, I'm 43 years old. I can't sleep unless my feet are hanging off of the bed. You ask, do I crink my head to the side? Do I walk around like that? No. But if you ever see me in public and you see me go through a doorway, you will see this. It doesn't matter even if the door is tall enough. I instinctively, when I walk through a door, I cock my head to the side. I just walk through and I cock it to the side. It is instinct. I don't think about it. It's what I do. It's been my entire life. Speaking of life at home, I've been talking to you about GovX, but it is at this point in time creating marital problems for me. See, GovX, it's the website that's for military and first responders, current and former. It's the place where you can go get Ray-Bans and Oakleys and Yetis and Stanleys and their theme parks, cruises, concerts, ball games. You want huge discounts on all kinds of stuff? GovX is for us. It's for us who served, current and former. But the discounts are so drastic. and the gear. I mean, we're talking knives, baby. Oh my gosh, you should see the knives. You should see the monocular I got. I just got a monocular, and now I walk around with it clipped on my belt. My wife is furious about the whole thing. I'm going to bankrupt my family because of GovX. You can at least be $15 ahead on that. Go to govx.com and use the code Jesse and geek out. You want sick gear? It's at govx.com. Plus vacation stuff, all kinds of cool stuff. Promo code Jesse. Go geek out.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. I was very excited to speak with my friend Brandon Darby, of course, of the Cartel Chronicles, Breitbart, but then I found out he's a Van Halen fan. Darby, you want to explain that to everybody now that you picked the song?
Yes, this time I picked the song. I love Van Halen. I think they're great. I like Van Halen. I like Van Hagar. I'm all in. Yep. That's me.
You know what? That hurts my soul. Anyway, let's discuss the things that are important. And let's discuss the issue of Tren de Aragua, which you were the first time a lot of people heard that name. They heard it from you right here on this show. Venezuelan prison gang. Everyone now has heard stories about Colorado and New York and San Antonio and things like that. But are they the only one? Is this just the only prison gang that's been brought here? That's kind of what I've been sniffing around for, Brandon. Surely there are more, right?
Right. So in Venezuela, each state of Venezuela has dominant gangs, dominant criminal groups, and people from all over Venezuela have come here. So they are probably the most aggressive, which is why we're hearing about them, which is why I mentioned them rather than mentioning 20 other groups. But you have to remember, yes, some of the people who show up here illicitly are good people who I totally get why they come, but we have to remember a lot of the people who show up illegally and illicitly are not good people. So there's all types of reasons why people cannot, why people cannot come legally to the United States. And so anytime you have an illicit way to get here, going through criminal groups, people who maybe have, you know, pedophilia charges, people who possibly have other criminal convictions are obviously not going to apply to come into the U.S. legally. They're going to attempt to come illegally. And that's why we get the dredges of society of other places here.
Brandon, why so many people from Venezuela in particular? The border is wide open. There's a bunch of people, and I realize they are coming from other places as well, but we hear this so often, Venezuelans, Venezuelans, Venezuelans. How did we get a pipeline from that dump into America?
Well, okay, so that's an interesting thing. So I would mention to people that when you have extreme levels of leftism, right, when you have what we have in with the Chavistas, right, what we have in Venezuela, what we've seen from like what 2004, 2005, 2006, there was kind of this golden period where, you know, there was a lot of bad in Venezuela, but it wasn't as in your face. And there was a leader, Chavez, who to some extent, you know, redistributed wealth to his people, but with socialism, without a constitution, without the protections we have in the United States, what happens is a strong man takes over, government abuses the power they have, and then government runs everything into the ground. So the reason that we have so many people from Venezuela coming, such a disproportionate number, is because Venezuela is in such a bad situation. So when you have a country where people are eating their dogs and eating their everything else, people want to get away from there. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, it just astounds me that they sit on the world's largest oil reserves and they still manage to bankrupt that poor place, those poor friggin' people. Okay, when you have a country that is in that bad of shape, inevitably it's going to affect neighbors in one way or another, and it's really never in a positive way. What about their neighbors? What is the status? How unstable is this entire region?
Well, the entire region is very unstable. So if we look at, you know, what happened in Colombia, right, which is a neighbor of Venezuela. If we look at what happened in Colombia, people tout that Colombia is doing better, and it largely is because the U.S. began to target the criminal groups there, right? The U.S. began to declare certain criminal groups in Venezuela as foreign terror organizations, which allowed the U.S. to just absolutely gut those organizations, something that we, for whatever reason, the U.S. government does not want to do in Mexico with the criminal groups there. But if we were to go to Guyana, next door on the other side of Venezuela, Venezuela is about to invade Guyana, right, and try to take over their oil resources. Again, it's a horrible situation. So as we look at their neighbors, you know, I'm sure there are tons of people pouring out of there into those countries. But ultimately, you know, the U.S. has doesn't have open gates, but it definitely has said, hey, we left the windows open if you want to sneak in. And people are doing that. And that's what we see.
Speaking with Brandon Darby, Cartel Chronicles, Breitbart. Brandon, you have told us before on the show, again, you always drop these wonderful tidbits, that the three most powerful kind of in general criminal groups on the planet are the Italians, the Russians, and then the Mexican transnational criminal organizations. I'm going to stop calling them cartels so you stop yelling at me. But why don't we ever hear about the Italians? You know, it's just not something that comes up anymore. We watch old mob movies and we learn about Albert Anastasia and Al Capone and things like that, but we don't hear that much out of there. Are they weak now?
No, I wouldn't say that they're weak, but I would say a lot of it has to do with the region we live in. It's like when we talk about human trafficking issues, primarily when we're talking about human trafficking, we're going to be talking about people from who have crossed our southern border, people from Central America, Mexico, what have you. If we lived in San Francisco or if we lived on, you know, in the Pacific Northwest, we would primarily be talking about Chinese people and people from Asia. If we lived on the Northeast, if we lived in New York City, or if we lived up in the on the East Coast of the United States, we might primarily be talking about people from Eastern Europe, right, and from Russia and from other places. And so, not to say that there's not people from Mexico or Central America who are trafficked there, but primarily it's not going to be the dominant thing. So I'm a Texan. You're a Texan. We're talking about Mexican transnational criminal organizations. They affect us the most. If we were in New York City, I don't think that Mexican cartels have as much power in New York City. And I think that Italian groups and Russian groups would have more. But I think when it comes to Texas, I don't think that the Italians, you know, I don't think that they could deal with just the sheer numbers of groups that are aligned with Mexican cartels, as we say.
Do those groups work with or against each other? And I ask this, I know you're going to laugh in my face. I ask this because I watched some series, I think it was on Netflix, called 000, where the cartels were working with the Italians. It was a fascinating series, and it got me thinking. I always assumed they were at war with each other for the drug market, which is very international for these markets. Do they work with or against each other, or do they just kind of exist in their own spheres?
Well, all of the above. So primarily, you know, like if we're talking about gangs in the U.S., we see a lot of Aryan Brotherhood working with the Gulf Cartel, one faction of the Gulf Cartel. Right? We see a lot of that. Do they like each other? Would they go eat barbecue together? Probably not. But they make money together. And if we were to go, you know, to El Paso and look at the dominant cartel there, which is the Juarez cartel, La Linea, as we say, they have certain gangs that who they work with, that they work with, when it comes to importing drugs into Western Europe. Absolutely, the Italian groups work with Mexican cartels. And it's kind of their territory and their thing. You know, you got to remember, why did this happen? The U.S. targeted the criminal groups in Colombia. The groups in Colombia, you know, they declared them as foreign terror organizations, absolutely decimated them. And then the groups in Colombia said, wait a minute, if we just manufacture the stuff and we let the Mexicans take care of transporting it, we're not going to be, you know, we're not going to make as much money, but we're not going to be target numero uno for the U.S. government, right? Or for powerful governments. And so that's largely what Colombians did, is they stopped bringing it in and they started allowing the Mexicans to transport it. So these Mexican TCOs, transnational criminal groups, we call cartels, they're in large part, they're helping to ship that stuff around the world. So there's absolutely cooperation, especially with the advent of fentanyl. You have to remember, years ago, there was opiates and heroin, for instance, from Southeast Asia, and Mexican black tar heroin could not compete with it, right? Mexican drugs could not compete with Southeast Asian drugs. But with fentanyl being added to the mix, now even if you had cigarette ashes that you injected with fentanyl, you're going to get the same feeling as the best China White that Southeast Asia could produce. So it's absolutely changed the dynamics of these transnational criminal organizations, the power dynamics and the patterns. You can't tell the difference between the most expensive, best heroin that can be produced in Vietnam or China versus Thailand versus the trashiest stuff that Mexico can produce. You can't tell the difference. That's why we have so many overdoses with fentanyl, because it's Mexican. It's cheap heroin trying to compete and create just as high of a feeling as the best stuff in the world used to.
Synthetic heroin. Daggone. What a world. Brandon Darby, you are the best. Go read his stuff. I read everything he writes at Breitbart. Thank you, my brother. As always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jesse.
Chris, I've always felt like I could be a good smuggler. What? Why are you shaking your... I'm not going to. I don't want to do... What am I going to smuggle? I don't know, probably guns when our government makes them illegal. I want to be a gun runner. I've always wanted that for myself and my children. Anyway, and look, we'll communicate on Pure Talk. Listen, Pure Talk, they have what you need if you're smuggling guns. They have a reliable 5G network. And look, when you're smuggling guns, sometimes the margins get tight. You save money when you switch to Pure Talk. We all do, whether you're smuggling guns or just a normal civilian. You see, Pure Talk, they don't have a store on every corner, so they don't have the overhead. That's how they provide for you the same 5G coverage, amazing customer service, the brand newest phones, if that's what you want, for half the price. I pay half of what I was paying at T-Mobile, and it takes 10 minutes on the phone to switch. Run guns like an American. Pick up your phone and dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. It takes 10 minutes to switch. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. We will be back tomorrow to do it again. Let's do an email before we get to this Ukraine stuff. Dr. Jesse, back in the day, we combined two Risk games and made a larger custom board. Games would last a few days with epic battles for world dominance. I suspect your prowess on the game board stems from the superior dice control that comes from your smallish hands. I hate you guys. I'm an amazing Risk player. I keep trying to tell you I'm an amazing Risk player. Maybe I should be the one running foreign policy. Bob Woodward is a piece of trash journalist, possibly a CIA asset, and he's out there saying things like this.
And some of the things, the very sensible things in the interest of this country that Joe Biden did, not sending U.S. ground troops to the war in Ukraine. someday he may get the Nobel Peace Prize for that, because very, very important, so we don't have another Vietnam.
These people are psychotic. You communists think I'm psychotic. These people are psychotic. Why would sending American ground troops ever have been considered? Ukraine is not a NATO country. It is not the job of the United States of America to protect every single country on the planet from aggression and invasion. And you cannot conduct your foreign policy that way. And what we did do to the poor Ukrainians was we shipped them enough weapons and money to stand them up, so now they don't have any men left. Headline. This is from National Security Journal. Is Ukraine running out of soldiers to fight Russia? Let me spoil it for you. Yes, they're conscripting 16-year-olds. My son, James, is about to turn 16 in, what, a week or two? I don't know when his birthday is. I can't keep track of every day. James is about to turn 16. He's a scrawny kid who likes to run and eat, play video games when I let him. They are grabbing James, handing him a rifle and saying, go die. And we, by propping up Ukraine, did that. They have lost their sons, their husbands, their fathers, their grandfathers are gone. And these people think we deserve a Nobel Peace Prize. I say that without an ounce of sympathy for the Russians. And I do actually have sympathy for the Russian troops, because a lot of them are conscripted too. But it's not as if I'm a Russian fan. We wiped out Ukraine. Even if by some miracle they end up, quote, winning in the end, which they won't. It'll be a negotiated peace. It was always going to be a negotiated peace. But even if they won in the end, what did you win when your men are all dead? The people who've been running America's foreign policy for decades are seriously the most soulless freaking monsters, man. They really are. Who was that? Was it Madeleine Albright, Chris, when she was asked if 500,000 dead Iraqis was worth it? And she just, without hesitation, she's like, oh yeah, totally worth it. Man, alive. Freaking monsters, dude.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Orca leaves a gift in the water and then splashes it all over the SeaWorld guests. That's from Not the Bee. I think you know exactly what that gift was. I will just say I watched this documentary one time called Blackfish, and it was about SeaWorld and this murder orca who kept murdering people. And when he murdered the trainers and stuff, it was really, really horrible and sad. But apparently some drugged out nut job snuck into SeaWorld one night. You want to talk about the all-time bad luck. He sneaks into SeaWorld, and instead of ending up with the seals and the otters, he dives into Murder Orca's tank, and he did not die easy, and he did not die fast. Goldfish is changing its name to Chilean sea bass. I hope that's true. That's freaking hilarious. Steve Bannon eligible for home confinement, but prison could... Hold on a second. I should clarify. Goldfish are only decent if you get the flavor blasted ones. The ones that aren't flavor blasted just don't cut the mustard anymore. Key Boeing supplier furloughs about 700 workers. Remember that guy who was blowing the whistle on Boeing, and when he was giving his deposition, he committed suicide in his truck, even though he wasn't suicidal? Kind of wild. Anyway, we'll come back tomorrow and do it again. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.